In your Bibles. Thanks, Brother Dickinson, for playing the... Is that a flute? Is that what that is? Okay, flute. I would have passed out by at some point with all that breathing and sucking in and blowing out and sucking and blowing out. I was looking for you to fall over there after a little while. But thanks for playing. That's a blessing to have talented people that play and use their gift for the Lord. 2 Peter chapter number 2. I'm going to talk to you about this whole chapter, really, but I'm going to try to make it very, very short, but try to talk to you about it. The theme of this chapter of the Bible is false teachers. And as I began to look at this the other day, I started looking at this chapter of the Bible because I was thinking a little bit about the prodigal son. I preached that a couple of Sundays ago. I guess it was last Sunday morning, a few services ago, we talked about the prodigal son And we kind of talked about the fact that there was a son. Remember, we said that the prodigal son is not a story about a sinner that wanted to become a son. It was a story about a son who went off into sin and then came back to the father's house. And we talked a little bit about that. We talked about that the far country is not all it's cracked up to be. We talked about the father's forgiveness and the foolish older brother that did not want people to come back to the father there in repentance. But what we saw in that was very interesting. I want you to catch this. We saw that there was a son that when he ran away from the father, he was hanging out with the hogs. He was hanging out in the hog pen with the pigs in their slop, wanting to eat what they were eating because he had nothing else to eat. And he found himself in just the hog pen. But what is interesting about 2 Peter, if you look down at the last verse of chapter 2, this is what kind of caught my attention as I was preparing for the other message. In verse number 22, it says this, "But it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again." What a descriptive thing. "The dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire." Very interesting, when I started thinking about this and I was looking up this thing with this sow, is what you had in the prodigal son is you had a son that went to hang out with the sows, all right? That's what he did. But in this story, you have this account, you have a sow that went to church to try to hang out with the sons and try to be like one, but eventually was found out and went back to being with the sows, returned back to the slop. And so the first one, you have a son that goes with the sows and comes back to being a son. And this one, you have a sow that goes, hangs out with the sons and goes back to being a sow. It's very interesting when you look at that. It can be a tongue twister, I guess, but it was very interesting to look at how this thing laid out there in that story, those two stories here. But what this is about, this is a story about false prophets. This whole account is about false prophets. And I want to kind of look at some of this together today. And I don't know how much I'll read of it or how much we'll look at it. But when we look at the first verse there, I want you to see this. "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them and brought bring about themselves swift destruction." And then it says, "And many," watch this now, "and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you." That's the church, the God's people. "They'll make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not." Verse 4 through verse 9, I'm going to get to that at the end of the message, but that's going to be showing their punishment that comes to these false teachers and those that follow the false teachers. God's able to know, in verse number 9, those that are His and those that are not His. He can tell that. He knows that. And so that's what's going to be the idea. We see some things that kind of are about them in verse number 10 all the way down through verse number 17. I'm going to go through that in a minute too, but down through 10 through 17, you're going to look at kind of their practices and what they are. In verse number 18, what you're going to see, 18 there through 19, you're going to see their prey, the people they're preying on, the people they're wanting to try to attract. Then you're going to see in verse 19 down through 21, you're going to see their path, the way they're leading to. It's actually the path of corruption, the path that these false teachers are leading to. And then in verse number 20, found throughout that little spot. And then, of course, verse 4 through 9, you're going to see their punishment that's going to happen to them eventually. Now, what's interesting is when you look at this very first verse, I want you to see this. It's important that churches get this, that because you need to know that there are false teachers out there. They are. They're in the church. They're preaching in the churches. Even right now, tonight, there'll be somebody standing in the pulpit that's a false teacher leading people in a false path. They'll be doing that tonight. For sure, if you turn on your TV tonight, you're going to find some false preacher. They're preaching a false doctrine that's leading people in a false path. They're out there. They're all over the place, even tonight. And this is what we find in that first verse. I want you to see the presence of false teachers. The very first verse, the presence of false teachers. But there were false teachers also among the people, even as there shall be. There will be. There's going to be. There shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring about themselves swift destruction. There will be, there shall be, it's a promise, false teachers in and around church to try to lead people in the wrong direction. Now, you'd say, really, surely, that can't be so. These godly people that seem very godly, and they dress very godly, and they look very godly, and they say very godly things, surely they can't be false prophets and false teachers. Well, they are. They are. In fact, in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13, at the end, I'm going to tell you the trick to this. But in 2 Corinthians 11, 13, it says this about them. And you'll know this verse as I give it to you. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers. They're deceitful. Deceitful workers. And watch what it says about them. Transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. They're deceitful. They're false. And they transform themselves into workers of Christ and those that are apostles of Christ. And he says in verse number 14, and no marvel. Don't let this be some kind of marvel to you. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. That's how Satan works. It's the same tactic that he uses. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. And you say, these men speak like righteous people. They look like righteous people. Yes, but they're actually the devil and the workers of the devil. And it says this, whose end shall be according to their works. Their end shall be that way. I've got to tell you something, folks. I want you to get this. I want you to understand it. That outside, in the lost world, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the devil is trying to blind the minds of people so that they will not believe the truth of the gospel. Trying to blind their minds with all different types of things. I talked about it the other day. If you spend any time watching any type of TV or news or media or any of those types of things, they're trying to get people's minds to think a certain way. They're trying to get people's minds to think a certain way. And can I tell you something? Outside, that's what they're trying to do, blind the minds. People teach them things that are not true about God. That's what they're doing out there in the world. But can I tell you, they're doing some things inside the church as well. The devil is. Inside the church as well. He's trying to get people to depart from truth within the church. That's why he has false teachers and false apostles within the church. Can I tell you what he does? He tries to get people away from truth by twisting truth ever so slightly. If you can twist it off just enough, you will get people off track. I told you like this the other day, if you were to, those of your military, if you were to shoot an azimuth from point A to point B, and you're going to try to get to point B, if you get off, look, if you get off just a little bit right here at the beginning, your destination can be off by a very long distance down the end. And so in the church, if they can just get you off track ever so slightly, well, then they can get you at the end of your destination completely away from God. And that's what they'll try to do. And so you see things like when at the very beginning, when Satan tried to cause a problem at the very beginning, he said, yea, hath God said? God's trying to hold something back from you. He knows in the day you eat, you're going to be wise. He's trying to, if he can just get you to question God ever so slightly, he can get your whole destination off track. And that's what he's trying to do. And can I tell you something? I want you to get this little sentence, this little phrase, this little thought in your mind. Churches have become accepting of anything. And what they do is they fall for everything. Another way to put that is this: when you stand for nothing, you fall for anything and everything that's out there. I read an article when I was trying to prepare for this. I was reading some articles, and this one man had put down all these different types of religious groups that are false, that are out there, that are alluring people. That's one of the words he's going to use here, alluring people into their groups, trying to get people into those groups that are actually appear to be very godly, but they're actually luring people the wrong way and teaching them false doctrine, and even calling into question the clear doctrine and pushing people off track. And he listed all these things. And at the end of this blog that I was reading, all these people that were Christians, they said, "How dare you call yourself a Christian?" They said, "You should never judge other people." And I would agree with that. But this guy wasn't judging. He was trying to clearly, just like what's being said right here on the pages of Scripture, trying to highlight the fact that there is false doctrine out there. And so he's trying to do that. And they said, "Oh, you're judgmental. Oh, how could you even call yourself a Christian?" This is one of the things they said. They said, "We should all be worshiping together. There's enough division." There is enough division. But the only way that you can bring us all into unity is on sound doctrine. Not by embracing every different little stripe or division that's out there in the world of all different type of things. We've got to, if you want to have something united, it's going to have to be united on the Word of God and the truths of God's Word. That's it. It can't unite on anything else. And so they were saying, we need to accept all different types of worship, all different types of Bible, all different types of doctrine, all together. Folks, that is a blasphemy. That is apostasy. That is wrong at its deepest level. And so it can't be that way. But that's what there actually is, a presence in the church making a movement that direction right now. It's happening as we speak. This is happening. Now I want you to see, secondly, in verse number 2, the popularity of false teachers. The popularity of false teachers. The presence, they're there. Whether you know it or not, they may look very right, but they're not. The presence, they're there. But once you see the popularity, look at verse number 2, and it says, And many shall follow their pernicious ways. Many shall follow their destructive, disastrous ways. Many shall follow their pernicious ways. There's going to be a large amount of people that are following this type of group that's going this direction. Lots of them follow them. Can I tell you something that I need you to get a hold of is this. A big crowd does not necessarily mean the presence of God. You say, "Well, okay, if it's a big church, it must not have the..." I didn't say that. I'm just saying just because a lot of people are following a person or an individual does not mean that that person is a true representative of God. A large amount of people can be following the wrong person. Can I tell you something? The majority rejected Jesus Christ, and a small minority are the ones that follow Jesus Christ. Large amounts doesn't necessarily mean godliness or truth. So something you've got to get a hold of. And so the popularity of these groups. You see what they promise? Look at verse number 19. They promised them liberty. They promised them liberty. You know, there's a whole... I talked about this on Wednesday night, about the fact that we're supposed to be putting off the old and putting on a new. There's supposed to be a changed life in the Christian's life. He's moving a different way. It's not overnight. It's not something where I'm a Christian now and all of a sudden I've accepted Christ and everything I do is perfect. No, it's a progression where you're taking some things off and replacing them with the right things and growing in your knowledge of Christ and being strengthened in your knowledge of Christ and becoming more like Christ every day. But there's a group that's going through that's saying this: "Hey, we have complete liberty. Just live how you want, act like you want, do what you want, say what you want, all those types of things." There is that vein that's out there. But folks, can I tell you something? The Bible says in 1 Peter, along in the same section here, but it's in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 16, it says this: "As free and not using your liberty as a cloak," not using your liberty as a cloak of maliciousness, but as servants of God. Folks, you do have liberty, but your liberty does not give you the excuse to act however you want to act. That liberty is given you to be a servant of God, not a servant of sin anymore. You've been set free from that, and now you become a servant of God to follow God and serve others. I gave you this verse last week, but in Galatians 5:13, it says, "For brethren, you have been called unto liberty." Liberty. We do have liberty. "Only use not liberty as an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." That's what your liberty is about. Not a liberty to act and do and be however you want to be. It's a liberty in Christ Jesus. Can I tell you something, folks? We've been bought with a price. We're not our own. When you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you've given yourself over to Him. He owns you now. And so now you live for Him. And it's not, He's not a, we said it this morning, He's not a hard taskmaster. His yoke is easy. His burden's light. It's good to follow him. But there's popular teachers that are telling people, listen, this is, you'll see it all over. You can see it all over the place right now. You can read their books. You can get them. They're bestsellers. Just do whatever you want to do. Just live however you want to live. Act however you want to act. It's okay. We have liberty. He promised liberty. Now, this is what it said there. Verse number 19, while they promise liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. They're actually the servants of corruption. There's no liberty found in them. There's no liberty. They're the servants of corruption. I want you to hold your place there and just go back with 2 Timothy. You don't have to go there if you don't want to, but it's in 2 Timothy chapter number 4. And you know these verses very well. In fact, I could just quote them to you because we use them all the time. But I'm going to read a little bit to you so I can stop and pick different places in there. But it's in 2 Timothy chapter 4. You know what Paul told Timothy to do in verse number 2? He said, preach the word. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Watch what he tells him to do. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and what, folks? Doctrine, 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 doctrine. Preach doctrine. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering, being patient towards people and giving them the time to grow, longsuffering and doctrine. But he says this, the time will come. In verse number 3, the time will come where they will not endure. They're not going to put up with your sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. This is very interesting, because what you see in this spot is you see the downward progression of leaving truth and going towards this false doctrine or the false truths, or what he calls fables. You see preachers stop preaching. They don't preach anymore. That's what he told them to do. Preach the word. Be instant. In season. Out of season. Reprove. Rebuke. Exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. But if you can get the preacher to stop preaching truth, now you've got something. Get them to stop preaching truth. And then you get people that don't want to hear truth preached, but instead they want somebody to tell them something that is itching to their... They have itching ears. They want to hear something that tickles their ears and makes them feel good. That's what this world is coming to when it comes to church today, right now. People will not put up with somebody that will tell them. We live in a generation where people do not like to be told that's not right. They can't stand authority. They hate authority. Of any way, shape, or form, they hate authority. And they don't want anybody told them, don't do this. Folks, can I tell you something? People love it. I mean, love you when you get up and you preach something that makes them feel really good. But if you ever get up and reprove or rebuke, they say, now, why did you preach that? I didn't like that. It made me feel uncomfortable. Did you preach that because you knew I was dealing with that? You just preached that because you knew. The people don't like to be rebuked or reproved. They don't like it. And so what they do want is they'll try to heap to themselves teachers who will make them feel good. They would rather, listen to what it says, they would rather hear a fable and a lie than the truth. And so these types of preachers, these types of false teachers, they become very popular in this day and time we live in, because that's all they do tell you. They do tell you that you are great and you're wonderful. Live however you want to live. Don't try to subject yourself to Christ. Don't try to put yourself under the clear teachings of the Word of God. Don't worry about the fact that if you never trust Jesus Christ, your Savior, that you'll end up in a place called hell. Let's not even mention the word hell. Let's not even mention the word sin. Let's just stay away from all those types of subjects and tell everybody how good they are and how great they are. Now, everybody will crowd into a place to hear something like that. They'd buy their books, no matter what they cost. But see, the problem is they're very popular, and they are present, but it's not the right path. That's not the right path. It doesn't do anything to strengthen anybody. So what do? They turn them away. They twist people from truth towards fables. They twist them from truth to fables. So we see the presence of these false teachers. We see the popularity, why they're so popular. That's the day we live in. The popularity of these false teachers. But then we see the practice of these false teachers. And I want you to look with me at some of the different wording that's mentioned here looking through this. Look in verse number 1 of 2 Peter 2. Verse number 1, it says, but there are false prophets evil among the people. They shall be false teachers among you. Watch this, who privily... Privily. What does that mean? It means secretly. They're not going to just jump out. Listen, the devil never shows up with horns, a red cape, and a pitchfork. He's subtle, and he's going to try to work subtly. And the same thing is true with false doctrine and false prophets and false teachers. They're going to subtly give you things that aren't right. They work very privately and secretly. The things I just told you a while ago in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, if you were to back up just one chapter and hit chapter 5, listen to what it says, and you'll know these verses too when it goes down the list of the last days. In verse number 5 of 2 Timothy 3, it says, having a form of godliness. Just these type of people. They have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And it says, from such turn away. These are people that have a form. They look very godly. They look right. But they're not right. They don't have the power of God. They have a form of godliness. And then it says this, from such turn away. For of this sort, now watch what it says they are. Of this sort are they which creep into houses. They sneak into your homes. They creep into houses and lead captive silly women. You say, well, what does that mean? Well, it just means gullible people that are allowing this type of thing to happen in their lives. They creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts. Ever learning, watch this, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They never get the real deal. He says, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith. You know what? Who Jannes and Jambres, I told you this before, Jannes and Jambres were the ones that withstood Moses and they threw down the rods and their rods became snakes as well. Remember? They looked a whole lot like religious people, didn't they? They could actually conjure up something that looked miraculous, but it wasn't God's power. It was a false power, and it was not anywhere near the power of what Moses had with God. They have a form of godliness, but they don't really have the real power that goes. They're secretive and they're clever, and they've got some sneaky ways about them. We also see in verse number 2, it says they're pernicious ways. That just means they cause harm and they cause destruction. You don't see it at the very beginning because they're secretive, but they're leading you in a path that is destructive. Verse number 3, look at verse 3. Just hitting some of these, you'll see. And through covetousness, shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you? So it says something about them. It gives you an idea of what their real goal is. They want something from you. They're not there as a real leader would be or as a real pastor would be to give something to you to help you be better. They're actually wanting to get something from you. They're covetous. They want to take from you and make merchandise of you. They're wanting, listen, they'll tell you anything you want to hear as long as you'll give something to them. These are false. Have you ever heard this before? If you'll just send your money to us, we'll make sure God gives you or God will get, that's the kind of stuff you hear on TV. They're trying to make merchandise of people. And when it said a while ago, I thought this was very prophetic, when it said they'll creep into houses. You know how a lot of them are creeping into houses right now? Through our television sets, sitting in our living rooms. They creep in and they preach false doctrine. And we listen to it and say, well, look at that man. He must be godly. When he's talking, he's in Jerusalem right now. When actually, that's just a weird backdrop they've got behind him. It really isn't even Jerusalem. You say, he's got to be religious. He's got to be. No, he may not be. So he's covetous. False teachers use covetousness, both their own and their followers. Many false teachers, both today and in previous times, present a gospel that is self-gratification at its core. It's just about pleasing you. All this presented with deceptive words, because false teachers never announce themselves. They're privy. They're secretive. Look at verse number 10, because we're skipping over their punishment for the time. But look at verse number 10. It says, but chiefly them that walk after flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise, this is a very interesting one, they despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. This is a very interesting little section of phrase right here in verse number 10. They're presumptuous. You know what that means? They're bold. They're bold. Say anything. Do anything. They're bold. They're self-willed. Means they're stubborn. They're stubborn. They're presumptuous. They're bold. They're stubborn. The rest of it says they speak against government and dignities. Well, that's very interesting. They'll speak out against God and against the government. They'll speak out against both of them. They have no problem with speaking out against the things of God. You know, when it talks about this, it's a very interesting parallel passage. I want you to look with me. Look at Jude chapter 4. Hold your place. Look at Jude chapter 4. Just go over to the right. I'm sorry, Jude verse 4. Not Jude chapter 4. There's only one chapter. Jude 4. I want you to see the parallel passage that's here of what he's saying about these types of people. You say, wait a minute, I thought all church was just church and all Bibles were just Bible and all preachers were just preaching. No. No, it's not all the same. It's not all the same. Verse number 4 of Jude, it says this, "For there are certain men," here it is, same men, same thing again, "crept in unawares," they're secretive, "who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only God and the Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed them that believed not." Watch. "And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, under the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh and set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal life." It's the same thing he's going to give you in verse 4 through 9 in the other one. "Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion." Here it is. They despise dominions and speak evil of dignities. Now, what does all that mean? He's saying in this other spot over here we just read that these are the same things. They're self-willed, presumptuous, and they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities and governments. In verse 11 of 2 Peter, you can hold your place in Jude. Just watch that place in Jude. But in verse 11 of 2 Peter, it says this, "Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not veiling accusations against them before the Lord." It says even angels don't speak the way these men speak about heavens and about earth. They don't even speak the way these men speak. But watch what it says there as we're looking at this in verse number 8 of Jude. It says, "Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee." It's very interesting, the connection here that's mentioned. These people speak about heaven and about earth, the government on earth and the government in heaven, the things that are in heaven, the dignities that are in heaven. They even speak about Satan in a very loose manner. They speak about God in a very loose manner. He said, listen, true prophets would not speak so loosely about this government or about that government at all. They wouldn't speak so loosely. They would be a little more reverent about the things that are going on in this world and in that world. They wouldn't speak so loosely the way you hear some of the people speak today. They wouldn't speak that way. It'd be a little bit different in the way that you would hear them speaking about Satan. You know, some of them, they act like Satan is somebody, a puppet that they can just talk any way they want to about. He says that angels, not the fallen angels, but the other angels, they don't even speak about Satan that way. They don't even speak about God. They don't even speak about other angels the way that some people just use their mouth. They're bold. They're self-willed. They're stubborn. They just say whatever they want to say. He says they shouldn't be talking the way they're talking. They shouldn't be. So we see that about them as well. We see a little bit about how they act. So they're presumptuous, they're bold, they're stubborn. They speak about local government and about God and about Satan and about other angels. They speak in a very strange way. I can't explain all that, but it's just a very interesting to look at some of the things that they say. Look at verse number 14. "Having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin." These people are sinners. They're full of lust and they're full of greed. "Beguiling unstable souls and heart they have exercised with covetous practice, cursed children." They can't stop sinning. They're into adultery. They're into things that are of lust and of greed. Look at verse number 15. "Which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, fallen the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness." It says this in Jude as well. It talks about Balaam the same way. It talks about him teaching people to go after fornication and go after idolatry. It's interesting that they use Balaam as an illustration here in this spot. Because what you know about Balaam is, if you had read through and you looked through the Old Testament, what Balaam was about, somebody wanted Balaam to come, I think it was Balak wanted Balaam to come and curse God's people. And Balaam said, I can't curse God's people, they're an uncursable people. But what we do find out from reading later on in Revelation chapter number 2, I believe, in verse number 14, what he did do is this. He taught Balak to cause them to curse themselves. What he did? He said, all you got to do is teach them to just go away, just divert a little bit into their own sin, and God will begin to chasten them. Isn't it interesting how these false, what he's, the comparison he's making with these false prophets is this thing of Balaam and the fact that if you can get somebody in to just get somebody diverted just a little bit from truth, you can bring chastisement and problems into their own lives. It's very interesting when you see this, the connection that's made there. And then verse number 17, we're just looking at their practices, how they are. They are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. These are wells without water. These are, it seems like they would have plenty of water coming up that would be good for you. No, they're wells without water. It says there are clouds that look like, oh, the clouds are rolling in, it's going to be something good. No, they pass by very quickly. There's nothing that they really have that's profitable to anybody. And then let me show you this one, the prey of the false teachers. That's the practices of these false teachers. They're corrupt. They're corrupt at their very core. But then we see the prey of these false teachers. Look at verse number 18. For when they speak great selling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. That's a very interesting phrase. It's a very interesting phrase. A couple of things that I want you to see from that is they allure. They allure. I was looking at this word allure, and I was just looking at how it's written there. As I looked at allure, what does allure mean? Well, allure means to try to pull somebody in, try to fake them in or get them in. And then I thought about what is a fishing lure? It's a lure that you put out there that looks very good, that hooks somebody and pulls them away from where they're supposed to be at and brings them into you. And so he tries to allure them with things that apply to their flesh to get them off track and get them to come with him. That's what we see there in verse number 18. But we see something else. In the last part of that phrase, it says, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. It's a very interesting phrase. It seems to me, as much as I can find and study this out and look at, is you have a people here that are trying to escape the error of the world. Remember it said it creeped into houses and lead away the gullible people? These people that are, they're probably looking for something. They're probably watching, if you looked at some of these people that are watching this stuff on TV, they're looking for something. They're looking for something. The error of the world is out there. And they can see that there's some error in the world. And they're trying to figure out, where do I go? And I'm going to tell you something. These guys swoop in and say, listen, you can come and follow me. I can give you a prosperity gospel. I can tell you just live however you want to live. And they say, that sounds good. I want to get away from the error that's here. But I want to go somewhere that's godly. But he's going to lure them away that actually leads them to damnation. Doesn't lead them into anything better for their life. And there's whole crowds of these people that are trying to escape the error. They're trying to escape the error, but what they're doing is they're actually by the droves running into these groups and filling up big auditoriums full of groups that are not telling them the way to salvation. They're actually taking them to the way of damnation and corruption. That's the prey that they're trying to get. They're pulling them away. And it said in verse number 2 that many are going to follow them. Many are going to follow these types of people. And so we find verse number 19, the path, and we'll finish up here, the path of these false prophets. Where are they taking these people to? Where are they all going when they're following their practices? Where are they headed? Now see, remember, I want you to understand something. The practices that they have, that's the behind the scene. You don't see it because they're very subtle. They come in privily. They're not showing you all their cards. They're keeping it hidden. But inside, they're full of covetousness. They're trying to make merchandise. They're full of adultery. They're full of all this wickedness on the inside. And they're leading people astray. The path, verse number 19, they promise them liberty. They themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. Folks, they promise liberty, but really they're taking people further into slavery. Because what they're doing is they're taking them into religion. Folks, can I tell you, there's nothing worse than taking somebody into religion and telling them that that's their hope when that does nothing for them. It'll help them clean up the outside, but it does nothing for the inside. And they're just taking them into a false religious practice and helping them feel very secure about it when all along they're leading them further and further down the road that leads to hell. And that's where they're taking them. In verse number 20, it says, for if after they, this is these false teachers, have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, this is going to sound a lot like you can lose your salvation, but I'm going to show you that it's not. For if they, these are these false prophets, have escaped the pollutions of this world. They've left the pollutions of the world. They've cleaned themselves up. Remember, these are the hogs that have left the hog pen and washed themselves. But the reason why they're called dogs and are called hogs and not called sheep or called sons is because they never were true believers. And so they have cleaned themselves up. They've escaped the pollutions. And they have a knowledge. Folks, this is important that you get this. That they have a knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They know about Him. They know about the things that He teaches. They know about His Word. They know enough to even tell other people about Him. But it's never left from being a knowledge in the head to something that's taken hold of their heart. They're not saved. They just have a knowledge of the Lord. They have a knowledge of the Savior. They have a knowledge of Jesus Christ. And then these hogs, they are again entangled therein and overcome. Watch what he says. The latter end is worse for them than the beginning. It's actually worse because now they're heading into a lie that it's hard to get them out of this lie. It's even worse for them at the end than it is for the beginning when they first started off trying to get away from the error or going towards Christ or the knowledge of these things. Verse 21, for it's better for them to not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Then he says, but it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed is wallowing in the mire. Their path is this. Now I want you to catch this. This is the last part of it. Their path is reformation without regeneration. Let me set that sink in. It's reformation. It's I'm going to reform. I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to dress up. I'm going to do this. I'm going to join Victory Baptist Church or this church down the road or whatever. You're going to do a reformation without regeneration, without the Holy Spirit moving on the inside, without truly becoming a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, without realizing, you know what, I am a sinner in need of a Savior. And if I die in my sins the way I am, that I will end up in a place called hell. Not because God doesn't love me, but because I was born in sin and that's where sin goes. But that Jesus loved me and God loved me enough that Jesus came and died on a cross to take my place. And if I will put my faith and trust in Him, at that moment I am born again. That's regeneration, not reformation. There's plenty of people that have reformed, but they haven't been regenerated because they've not put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And so these are into reformation without regeneration. They're into religion without a true relationship with Jesus Christ. There's no real change. And that's why the connection we were making with on Wednesday is there's no putting off of the old and putting on the new. The Holy Spirit's not doing anything in their life to show them a change in their life. They're not growing with Christ because they never even had a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's just reformation without regeneration. And Matthew talks a little bit about this, and I'll read this to you. Matthew 23, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. He says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. You devour widows' houses, people that are gullible to believe something, people that maybe are hurting, and they'll go in and make merchandise of them. This is these false leaders. They devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore you shall receive a greater damnation. You know what's very interesting? Seems by reading several verses in the Bible that there are degrees of damnation in hell. And in this place right here, it says these false teachers that are leading people in the wrong direction, that know truth but have rejected it and taking people in the wrong way, they're going to receive a greater damnation than people that have not heard the truth. A greater damnation. But he says this, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass the land to make one proselyte, one convert, and when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. You know where these people are leading people to? They're leading people to hell as well, right along with them, following the wrong thing. And that's why it says in verse number 22, these are dogs and hogs that have come to church and play church, but they've never become a sheep with a shepherd or a son with a father because they've never put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And eventually, these go right back out there into the filth of the world, go right back out there into the hog pen. And you've seen some of them come around and be around godliness, but they go right back to it. And folks, they're headed on the same trip towards hell. And in verse number 4 through verse number 9, in verse number 9 it says this, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust in the day of judgment to be punished. He knows the difference between those that are truly his and those that are not his. Those that are just putting on the show and those that have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And all through this section here in verse 4, he talks about he spared not the angels. Listen, it doesn't matter what their position are, he's not going to spare anybody that's rebelled against the knowledge of him, the angels. In verse 5, he said he spared not the old world in the days of Noah. There's no man, there's no angelic power that's exempt. There's no man that's exempt. And then he says in verse 6, in turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, there's no depth of wrong. And folks, the truth about Sodom and Gomorrah is they were very wealthy. They had need of nothing. Doesn't matter how rich, how poor, or the level of sin they're in. He knows those that are his and those that are not. And he knew where Moses was at in all this. And he knew where Lot was at in all this. He knows the ones that are truly his within a world full of filth. Amen. And he knows those that are just putting on the show. So let me say this to you. You need to make sure as a church. I wanted to preach this on a Sunday night because this is kind of a core group. You need to make sure you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. Amen. That you're not just following some religious program or you just, well, my daddy was Baptist and mama was Baptist, so I was born Baptist. No, that doesn't work. It's not going to work. You're going to have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. The only way you move from being in the eyes of God, it sounds very harsh, but the wording is a dog or a hog to being a sheep or a son is by being born again into the family of God and putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That's the only way. The only way. And in chapter 3, I just want you to see this. This is what we as believers need to stick with. Just below all this, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandment of us, the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he says this in verse 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. He's reiterating some of this. He says, you know what? If you want to stick with truth, you want to find truth, you know what you do? You find people that are speaking truth. The truth. Where do I find this truth from? Well, go back to chapter 1, just before he talks about these false prophets. What does he end with? Verse 19, we have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star rise in your hearts, knowing this verse, no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not of old, but by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Can I tell you, the only thing that's going to keep you on a sure path is finding preachers or people that are on the right path of truth that can lead you. And they better be using the Word of God when they're doing it. You don't need somebody standing up and telling you a bunch of stories or leading you into traditions. You need somebody that will stand up and preach what the Bible actually says. And you've got to follow this book. Otherwise, it'll be easy to be deceived. We were in CID, you know what they would... I worked a lot of counterfeit cases. I hated counterfeit cases. But you get called to a counterfeit case and you really didn't want to even work it because it might just be a $5 bill or a $20 bill or something like that. And you'd think, I really don't want to go through all this paperwork for this little thing. And it'd be a 20 that, you know, they had a little reflective 2 and 0 on it. And they would mark it with a reflective marker and make it look good. And, you know, you'd walk up and you'd see it and you could just recognize it off the bat. That's a counterfeit. And you were foolish to take that. You should have checked it, and it's a counterfeit. You know what? They don't train those guys. They don't train them on all the counterfeits that are out there. They don't train them on the infinite amount of counterfeits that are out there. You know what they do? They train these guys, like the Secret Service guys, but they'll train them to do the treasury. They'll train them what the real thing looks like. And if you know what the real thing looks like, you can spot all the counterfeits everywhere. So what you need to do? You need to get in this book. And more than that, you need to get this book in you. And you'll be able to spot every one of the counterfeits that are out there because they don't line up with what this says. And they're out there. They're present. Their practices are corruption. And they're popular as a lot of them are following them. But their path is damnation. And we need to stay away from it. Let's stand to our feet. If you're not saved tonight, let Brother Dickinson, if you can you just play something for us? Just anything. It doesn't matter. hopefully something gospel. Let's play that. But this plays something for us that we can maybe pray to here in just a second. And we're going to have a time of prayer. And maybe you need to just talk to the Lord. Maybe you need to thank God that you're in a place where they are preaching the truth. But if you're not saved today, if you're not saved, maybe it's in this place that you're at right now, in your own seat where you're at. Maybe you need to get that thing settled with God. It's not about reformation. It's not about turning over a new leaf or becoming religious. Folks, it's not that at all. It's not that. It's about you putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and receiving Him. And if you haven't done that tonight, can I tell you what you need to do? You need to get that thing right now before it's everlasting too late. It's not by chance that you hear messages like this if you haven't settled it in your heart. God's dealing with you, then you deal with what He's dealing with you about. Lord God, Father, bless tonight as only You can. Touch the hearts. Help each one of us to get something from what we read today. Thank You for Your Word that, Father, You didn't leave us here in a place where we've got to try to figure this out by ourselves. You've given us the Holy Spirit to bear witness with our spirit. You've given us Your Word that was written by the Holy Spirit. And Father, You've given us good teachers that can help us understand and get this book in us. Father, I pray that You'd help us get serious about this book and about what it can do in our lives. Father, there's false doctrine and false teachers all around us. Father, we don't think we're better than them. We don't. What we are saying is that we are humbly say, Father, thank You for giving us light and giving us truth. Help us to lead people in a way that's right and a way that's everlasting. Help us, Father, to do that. Father, touch the hearts. You know each heart that's here and what's needed. And I pray that You'd help them before it's everlasting too late. Lord, we love You and thank You for all You do. In Jesus' name, amen. Why don't you come and pray?